Have I ever mentioned that treants are some of my favorite fantasy creatures? The first monster I ever conceived and the first supplement I ever wrote was a treant that you could have follow you around. The Bonsai Treant, based off the awakened shrub that I carried around when I played Stibbles the Gnome. But D&D's treant, or tree ant, are obviously legally distinct versions of good old Tolkien's Ents, whose name in the Elvish tongue that they eventually learned was Onadrim, meaning tree host. And these wonderful Ents, gentle shepherds of the Fangorn Forest, are not even trees at all. Would you believe that? I absolutely did not know that, so I want to take some time and fully unravel just what an Ent was, how they've transformed from the dying guardians of Middle-earth into trees with faces that chill with druids and dryads, and why, in my opinion, they're some of the most well-written, well-intentioned, and overwhelmingly dangerous creatures in fiction, and why I wholeheartedly believe Ents are the true kings and queens of the material plane, easily more so than aboliths, dragons, or giants. So let's start with our first question, and lead into why they aren't trees. Why do Ents exist? The answer is surprisingly simple. It's because Tolkien was really annoyed. Specifically, Tolkien was disappointed in Macbeth. To loosely quote, he was bitterly disappointed and disgusted with the shabby use of the scene in Macbeth where the great Birnam Wood marched into Dunsinane. I should probably read Macbeth. This scene, where an entire forest marched forward, was actually flabby and fake and just a bunch of dudes holding sticks as a really spooky illusion. I agree with Tolkien. That's dumb. So he spit on the book, closed it on that page, and then wrote a bunch of stuff around living forests just so that he could have a devastating raid scene with the coolest name ever, The Last March of the Ents. But the world building that he did ensured that the scene would be satisfying and is actually really, really cool. But on the topic of trees, I have one in my house right now thanks to Crimbus. It's not a real one, of course, but it's one that has some epic gamer presence underneath. Presents like the new Runesmith merch, which I'm really proud of if you're okay with hearing me out. Man, I'm so late with this. We got big cozy jackets with runes on them, and they leave pre-order the moment that you amazing sweet fans grab them up, and I really want one, so they'd be cool for both of us, I think. Also, my soap and candle set are on the shelf right now, so if you want a room to smell really good and then get a D20 when the candle's out, or if you want to get a bar of soap and then lose a D4 in your butt crack before you use it all the way, as a responsible, non-stinky gamer, it's all really cool stuff, especially the jacket and the fancy shirt, which I wear all the time. So if you want to support me directly, click the links below and add to the mounting dragon pile underneath your Christmas trees. Speaking of that, we're back to trees again. So let's start with the most powerful combatants involved in the battle against Isengard, the Ents. Ents are some of the oldest walking creatures in Middle-earth, being literally ageless, to the point where Gandalf calls Treebeard the oldest walking thing under the sun. That is such a flex, to actually be older than the age of the first Dark Lord. They lived with the trees when almost all the world was just a single vast forest. They thrived in groups or married pairs where you had Ents and Entwives and their offspring called Entings. Ents themselves were guides and guards for some of the older trees deeper in the heart of the dark woods, while Entwives lived on the edge of forests and worked to expand them by shaping younger life. I think it's really interesting that Ents could probably reproduce over distances, with something akin to pollen being transferred to whatever seed-like eggs these Entwives had, but tragically, every Entwive we could have known of was slain or enslaved by Sauron during his age. And as Entlings dwindled, no more could grow, and many, many more could die. But like I said, they aren't plants themselves. The name Ent is derived from the same root as the word Etten, which is the same word after tonguefall as Jotun, or Eotun. An old northern poem uses the word Enta, a sort of adjective to describe something that a giant made, or something that is the work of giants. So thanks to reading that specific word, we got Ents, or Onod in Elvish. Speaking of Elvish, Ents never needed to talk to anyone or anything in a normal language because there wasn't anything to talk to. There was a whole age of trees in early lore with just trees, Ents, and all the little soulless critters like rabbits and, I don't know, honey badgers. I talk about souls in my orc video if you want to watch that. But that all changed when the elves arrived and taught the Ents to speak. Treebeard himself was taught common speech by them, and essentially says that the elves cured the Ents of their dumbness and was very grateful. These giants lived among the trees at the same height as them for so long that I believe they developed their look through something akin to aggressive mimicry. In evolutionary biology, there are multiple types of mimicry that develop to better serve a creature's natural goal. One of the most common being Batesian mimicry, which is a self-defensive type of mimicry through faking the warning signs of other creatures. Aggressive mimicry is performed by both parasites and predators, where they evolve to better hide natural warning signs from their prey. But since Ents are shepherds, I really like the idea that they develop to be a shepherd in sheep's clothing, who waits and watches for wolves before blowing their heads smooth off with a boulder flying at 60 miles an hour. Much like Sudowoodo, the pseudo-wood Pokemon, Ents are clad in bark, with hair-like leaves, twiggy, bushy beards, branchy, rigid growths that jut from their shoulders and crowns. But ultimately, these are giant folk, with strength enough to crumple iron like tin, rip apart stone like fresh bread, hurl car-sized boulders literally hundreds of feet, and no-diff all of Isengard in a matter of minutes. For their docile nature, Ents are too strong. In the actual Lord of the Rings lore, trolls were made in their image to replicate their strength, but they only have a fraction of Ents' true raw power. These creatures are not invincible, but they are ageless, which lends a lot to their nature, which I really want to get into later in the video. One could say they never needed to be the Lord of the Rings, since they've always been the lords with rings. Because tree. Scooting on to the individuals that we know about, I want to circle back to Treebeard. Did you know that the oldest creature in Middle-earth is based on C.S. Lewis? Both of them are reputed to have deep, booming voices, commanding personalities, and long strides. That's really sweet. It's good for those Catholic boys to be loving each other so much. At one point in ancient history, Treebeard even had a wife, Fimbrethil, who was likely destroyed in her gardens along with the others, which led to Treebeard and the remaining Ents to convene at the last great forest. Each of these creatures tends to a specific type of tree within the forest, which is why they all have names and bodies resembling their flock. Leaflock is the second oldest, but look at that, Chad, that art fucks really hard. Then you have Skinbark, Quickbeam, and somewhere around 40 others who still lived before the War of the Ring. And separate to that, there are moving trees, which D&D holds true to, but in Lord of the Rings they're called Huorns, the half-awakened trees who can march at the behest or guide of Ents.